Schwartzman about his grandfather, the Baron Cutler Zatzal. How did you first come to have a relationship with your grandfather? What was the circumstances?
I have some vague recollections when I was spent 2-3 years in, actually more than that, in Hartford, Connecticut, by an uncle, Bianca Cassie.
Can you speak a little bit louder?
I spent, he came when I was for a few years in Hartford, Connecticut, by Bianca Cassie.
What years were those?
Those were those were the years between, let's say, 53, I would say, to 57.
Approximately
57.
Yeah.
1957, that was Tavshin Yud Gimel to Tavshin Yud Zayin.
Okay, that's fine.
And during those, I was young, I was before 6 years old. My grandfather came to space to come to, for like mini vacations sometimes. He came once or twice. I remember one time I remember him coming. I must have been around 5 years old, 5 years old. I mean, the only real recollection that I have of that was his sitting by the Gemara and learning. And my aunt, big Moshe. And then when they come to stand next to him, they took a picture. But beyond that, that's basically the recollection. It was sitting by the table with the Gemara and learning. That's
Just by the Gemara Galant.
That's basically.
Okay, you want to say something about who Yankel Katz was?
That's not really.
It's just a way of because people know him.
I don't plan this to be written as I'm talking. It's just
background
information. So whoever will know it will know it, and whatever is necessary to use. I mean,
yeah.
It's not meant to be in any way transcribed and publicized for anybody.
It's like for information, it would jog my memory. Oh, that's the Uncle Cat.
I don't plan for this to in any way be, you know, used for direct quotes and transcribed and printed in any way.
Yeah.
That's all.
Okay.
Otherwise, I wouldn't take the liberty to talk, you know, so freely. My senses aren't constructed properly.
The machine is on now.
Well, from Tavshin Yud Zayin on, we lived together in the same house in Borough Park.
With the Rosh Hashiva.
We lived together in the same house. My first recollection of the house is coming from Hartford, Connecticut. My first recollection.
Yeah. Was it Hartford or New Haven?
Hartford, Connecticut. It was the extreme, I would say, I wouldn't call it a need, it was probably, but the extreme simplicity of the house. In other words, what hit you about the life, what you call today lifestyle, is that you have or you do only in the Limhaza, that's what you need and that's what is necessary. Anything else is totally irrelevant. I mean, the simplicity of the furnishings, the simplicity of everything else in the house. And that was,
but that simplicity, that didn't really bother him. That wasn't really an issue by him.
It didn't bother him. It was anything that wasn't that way was considered out of taste.
It was like a burden to have to do it.
Yeah. Olam Hazeh, that's not tzoruch, that we don't need.
Right.
It's a burden. That's what bothers. There's nothing good.
Right. Because some people wouldn't understand that. They'll think, Nebuchadnezzar Arman.
There was a certain, on one hand, there was a tremendous tinsum, as everyone knows, he never took an extra penny from the yeshiva. Besides not taking extra money from the yeshiva, he would usually not take his own salary before he gave out all the ingalite. He never take anything. And he's a cheshbon to the puta, to the point that, I mean, we have yet little my grandmother keeps her bonus of up to a penny of money, money that she borrowed, money. I mean, it was very, I went through the tremendous thing to my grandfather himself, just to mention something that wouldn't be understood today. We didn't have in the house a set of Rambams until my older brother would be actually the Essence Bar Mitzvah, which was which took place in Tavshin Chof Aleph. Bar Mitzvah was in Tavshin Chof Aleph.
Yeah.
Tavshin Chof Aleph.
That was in Lakewood, no?
It's in Lakewood, yeah. It's in Tavshin Chof Aleph. And we remember we had a next door neighbor that we lived in an apartment house, a next door neighbor. And we always used to bring his mamas to the house. Matter of fact, his mamas were very used up sitting, being in the house by us. They were, and but it was precious. It was you know, didn't have.
Well, hold a second. I have to close the door. Yes, go ahead.
But it didn't mean, for example, what was concerned, like any health issues, for example. He was always a chef. My grandmother would show him, like, food for the children was always the chef. That's not hard, but that's from Kriyat Sulam.
What was the chef?
Food.
Okay, yeah.
It was no, it was just anything, you know, anything fancy, anything fancy. I've lost after this. What good purpose does it serve? What is it going to do besides distract the person from what he what he's supposed to do, besides being a distraction? And but that's a general background of the house. But I mean, it was, I mean, even in those years, it was a house that stood out, and it's not at all part of the American way of life. It stood out with the. The tremendous yichud, tremendous difference of what how people lived. I mean, this included even people who were very eloquent, heretic, yidden, but just it stood out that this is not a house that Gashmi's plays any role in. But the most basically, if the most like sharp images is.
No, what I mean to say is that. Even though it was so gedachkus, that darkness didn't make it depressing.
There's never anything depressing in the house.
Right.
There's never anything depressing.
Yeah.
The only thing that, the only thing a child could feel depressed about is that he didn't learn well. But the fact that there was any feeling of lack. It wasn't the idea that we don't have. The idea was.
We don't need it.
We don't need. We need only that to necessary for a person. Function properly.
Right.
That wasn't, getting back to you.
Yeah.
What you make, my grandmother, now, Sharon, used to always tell us over about her grandfather, who she never knew, the famous Shagger Fiverr Frank, father-in-law of Mrs. Alma Meltzer, and Walter Epstein, Chef Kramer, the fourth son-in-law was Mashkiach in. Was a shiv in Slabotka. There was a shiv in Slabotka, and we bought Harwood. And he was nifted a very young man. He was nifted before any of his daughters got married. He was a tavor that his son, he had a very big business in Kovna. He was considered the prominent gvirim of Kovna, household for the Rachsani from Bishol Solanter in Kovna.
Yeah.
Beis HaMusa was in his house. But enough to travel that his son should use the money, should use the wealth they had to marry the daughter of Tamid Chacham. But that's the unfortunate that the whole world knows.
Yeah.
But my grandmother used to always say, oh, there was another part to it. He said, Tavod, she used the wealth to marry the daughters of Tamid Chacham. And he was espoused that besides for that, no wealth should remain. Because he was worried about what wealth can do. The corruption of wealth. No, wealth could corrupt David. So if the wealth should, David should give him the schus to be able to use that wealth to marry off the assistants, to tell me the Chachom will flog him. And besides that, David should help that nothing else should remain. And my grandmother Hashem used to say, Baruch Hashem, the bracha wasn't going. It was a simcha. It was a tremendous. the voting again about Fiverr Frank. I mean, whatever person he was, I had, as a very young boy, I was supposed to meet a great aunt of mine, Rebson Kramer, who was a woman's mother-in-law, was the youngest of the four sisters. And she was still alive when I came to Baltimore as a young buck, 11 years old. And she recollected, she told me, as an Adria, she was there at the time, at her father's Leviathan in Covenant. She was a young girl, maybe 6 years old. She was the youngest of the sisters.
Uh-huh.
And she remembered the Biskohonan at Leviathan.
Uh-huh.
And the Biskohonan, and what happened was this, he left the Savoy that there shouldn't be any estate.
Uh-huh.
But Biskohonan got up and said, Ich wollte nicht gefolgt.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't listen to him. I would disobey his request.
Right.
Of the Chomer of us. But I'm scared of him.
Uh-huh.
And he sat down.
Uh-huh.
But without he was Mekayim, the Tzavar, and saying what he wanted to say. This is a person who was a Bama Drake that you see, he's scared of not Mekayim what he wants. And getting back to the house.
Right.
Just concentrate on my memories of my grandfather rather than the house in general.
Right.
And grandmother, even though the total truth of the house, it sounds like grandmother also, but
sure.
the most focused image, like, is I remember coming into the house, like, every day that it was, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we'd leave sometime during the day. And coming into the house, it's a whole day in the city. He used to spend most of the day in New York for the Tzorchei Yeshiva,
uh-huh.
and more than that, for the Tzorchei of Chinuch Atzmoy.
Uh-huh.
In other words, the whole Achram, besides the full Achmayis of carrying the Yeshiva, basically those years from the beginning of Chinuch Atzmoy until his Ptira, the whole financial burden of Chinuch Atzmoy, my grandfather carried
that. Yeah, that, a lot of people said that.
It's a fact. I mean,
yeah.
It's not. Rav Henoch Cohn, I still think he still does run the office of Chinuch Atzmoy in New York. But those years, he used to remember, he wasn't an executive director. What he did was, when he would come to the office in the morning, the first thing he would do, open the door, sit down by his desk, call up my grandfather, and ask him, what do I do today? And he would give him instructions what to do,
uh-huh.
and then he would report on what he accomplished, and he would get instructions what to do weiter.
Uh-huh.
But the day started with a conversation, with a phone call to my grandfather, you know, reporting in and getting instructions.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way Chinuch Atzmoy worked in America. It wasn't, which was called today hands-on. It was,
uh-huh.
He carried the full achrayus, kiyadua, to the point that he felt that the achrayus of Chinuch Atzmoy would take money for himself for Chinuch Atzmoy before he would take for the yeshiva.
Oh boy.
Before for the yeshiva, that's the achrayus. The osir of next door that you saw, he felt was contingent on what happened to Chinuch Atzmoy.
Uh-huh.
This is the whole door is lies on this. So he would, this is a question of getting a dollar for somebody. For Chinuch Atzmoy, the yeshiva, the Chinuch Atzmoy was first.
Uh-huh.
But basically, that's what he used to do most of the day, those days, those 3 days that he was in New York. Those 3.5 days that he was in New York, that was, and this was a very difficult schedule, I would say. The earlier years, I don't remember them clearly, but the earlier years he would go by subway. He would run around all day by subways and buses all around wherever he went. In towards the last few years that I remember more, the yeshiva finally bought an old car, and the Bochum used to take turns driving him around. And I remember those days, many stories in the house when the Bochum would come back after a whole day in the city. I mean, the Bochum would come in exhausted. It was a very exhausting day. It was a very difficult, exhausting day. But my grandfather, I just remember him always walking to the house, opening the door. He would open the door like racing almost. He always was running, and he would like dashing straight to the table, to the chair, and to the Gemara.
Uh-huh.
And the first thing he did into the house, he ran into the room and sat down and opened the Gemara. It was as if like someone was missing an oxygen question. Missing oxygen.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a question how tired you are. You're missing, you need oxygen. Like the Gemara, I mean, it was by us a living example of the Gemara with Rabbi Akiva of Dog and Bayam. That, the Dog and Bayam that they can't survive out, so why do you, the mushroom Akiva used that you can't, that, why don't you go on to dry areas that are safer from fishing, see?
Yeah. So
that's why the dog outside the yam can exist, and he grows very bit of fear.
Right.
Yeah, matter of fact, there's a little schmooze safer about that dog in the yam, as much water as a fish has, every drop of water, that he goes out of his way to, for every extra drop of water, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
Much like that of Chazal. I mean, that was a living example of that Moshe Chazal we saw every time we walked into the house.
Uh-huh.
The day, like,
yeah.
Straight. Then he would sit down, open his Gemara in his pinkas. He used to have a Gemara with a pinkas. He's always learning with a notebook and a pen. After he would sit down, he was learning. Then my grandmother and Shalom would walk in, tell him good novel. Then she would bring a cup of coffee or a cup of tea to the table.
Yeah.
And then he would give her a list of, I don't know how many people, but it was quite a long list of people that he had to make contact with that evening.
Uh-huh.
Talk to.
Is that after he came home?
After he came home. But as he was talking to them, that's like, them, you know, giving a whole list of people that have to be contacted. Naturally, all the phone calls my grandmother Shalom made on her own, he wouldn't make the phone calls. Matter of fact, now she would make the phone calls, she would give him the receiver to talk. And when we finished talking, he wouldn't put the receiver back on. He would just drop it out of his hand. And back in his head back in the Gemara.
So he shouldn't waste any time.
Fine. And then my girl would walk in and put the receiver back on the telephone.
Uh-huh.
She expected that. If he would do it any differently, it would bother her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Yachzor Talmud did not hesitate in learning was a master that hasn't, you know, with that level of purchase and purchase. I mean, this was just the beginning. Walking into the house, it was the list of calls. And then the house usually would start filling up with people coming to be sure late or to discuss things or whatever. The house, most evenings, would fill up with people.
Uh-huh.
And he would always be learning. People would come in, he would be listening while he's learning.
Uh-huh.
And to the point that I remember Gilda Shalom once mentioned to me, at an important meeting, there was many people there, and he was just sitting and learning while they were talking, and she asked me if it was, you know, these people could, you know, it's like, you know, they don't feel they got their, you know, their attention.
Right.
I'll tell you exactly what each one of them said.
Uh-huh.
Actually, for each one of them, the whole dialogue.
It was multiplexing.
Yeah. The level of being able to, multiplexing, multitasking, I don't know, whatever
you're saying. Yes, multitasking.
Yeah, was tremendous. But he would really never stop, never take his eyes out of the Gemara, never stop learning, never stop writing. He would listen to complicated conversations while he was writing.
Mm-hmm.
While he was writing, he should tell you at the same time.
A similar thing about Chaim Eiser used to say.
Chaim Eiser, we heard, used to write with two hands simultaneously.
Uh-huh.
Which is something it's a scientific phenomenon.
Yeah.
But this is the extreme concentration of Pashut, of not stopping 1 minute from learning. He would talk to everyone, advise everybody. Besides Leikut Chin Chatzmoy, which were the main things, I mean, Tarmasai also was completely under his achrayus.
Tarmasai also.
Tarmasai, yeah, all decisions of Tarmasai were made over him. I mean, matter of fact, the Efter of Shagat Feivim and Lovitch was Nifter. I mean, the one who had the full achrayus for Tarmasai was like, therefore.
Yeah.
Carried all to Tarmasai. I mean, Tarmasai had already a staff with an office and people, but all decision making and all, everything called about kosher, not kosher, would come to my grandfather. Local issues, even the local Yeshiva Tanis, even the bar park, I mean, any issue that came up, they were divided by my grandfather, asking what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, basically, slightly different vein. I mean, he once actually went and we used to go. We used to go to school and we had English subjects also, right?
Yeah.
Subjects. And my brother was also writing. Was sitting writing something. My brother says, "Why? Yes, if ever schreibst du, he told me he's writing a composition about Abraham Lincoln." About Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
I don't know how my grandfather knew what Abraham Lincoln was.
Yeah.
But he told him. By the way, told him, "So wissen a goy fi alle goy." So wissen, I mean, that, it's the same statement meant that he understood what the image of Abraham Lincoln in American folklore is.
Yeah, yeah.
The image of the Elf Alfie of those honest Abe.
Yeah, right.
He says, "Zokum here with the guns, you know, the Tzadik and the Goyim."
Yeah, yeah.
And to know that it's now the years of the time, you have to know that Abraham Shirak Atoy Razois and Chokum Bagoyim timing, but anything else Bagoyim is out timing.
Right. Today we see it b'chush, we don't have to be told.
Today we see b'chush, and tell you also know how the historians tell us about all his the deceit that Lincoln was involved in, by the way. Because a lot of things, you know, the new history had puts him in a totally different, a different image of him. But that's not, all he told us is,
that's another thing that comes out from all the interviews. I saw this Indian. That even though he was a orangutan, Torah, and all of this and everything, he was aware of what everybody was and where they were and where they were coming from.
It
was not bottling in the veld.
But I don't know, it was something that Shmayin to be able to know everything that you have to know without having to spend time with it. Because we can't figure out where we spent 1 minute doing it. We can't figure it out. It's not the shot. And this doesn't start. So this started from the moment he got off the boat in San Francisco,
yeah.
And he took over direction. I mean, this is chronicled very. A lot of it is chronicled by Mrs. Unum in his book.
Yeah.
But more than that, we see if my mother could say to him, my mother Lashon could say to him about it. I mean, his total involvement in that solo and in directing all political activity and all the interactions with the State Department, with the White House. With the Supreme Commander, Eisenhower Supreme Commander. I mean, he would tell people who are seasoned in the American way of life who to talk to, who not to talk to, what to say, what not to say. I mean, it was a Mayumki super. The ability to, in this vein, I mean, this sounds like a divine vuur came out, but my uncle, Olaf Shalom of Yankees Catholic, when he was on told me himself. My grandfather, in 1948, my grandfather was still living on the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And Bianca's cat was staying in the house, maybe living there for a good cool for that night. Saturday, he got married, I think. And he was sitting and listening to a radio. It was election night, the Dewey-Truman election.
Yeah.
Dewey-Truman election, as the whole world knows, that everyone thought that Dewey was going to win.
Right.
To the point that even during election night, it was already announced that Dewey had won.
Right.
So he was sitting intently.
The newspapers printed headlines.
Right, the Chicago paper printed the next morning that Dewey won.
Yeah.
But he was sitting close to the middle of the night and listening to the radio with election results.
Yeah.
And my grandfather passed by. He says, "I was too behind the election." I said, "He tells him."
Yeah.
He tells him, "Geish lof, it's a golish negair. We, Tumor had gewonnen." Geishlof.
He knew it.
Yeah, he told him, Geishlof is the goalish negair Tumorot gewonnen.
That's not much like before.
Yeah, it's very. He told him, Geishlof weiß, was er geht sein.
That's a tremendous story.
Yeah, it's like, how?
He b'chush, he knew it.
B'chush, yeah, I don't know how. How do you know b'chlal the whole? It's not that you have to spend time at any of this. It's not a moment. It's just that part and seconds of time.
Yeah, I understand.
We're not to see the Erech of our Asoka B'chal. And yet, whatever was Nigeia, it was
Nigeia
and knowing
him,
not just...
since it was Dovah, the entire
time it was Dovah in the Baruch Hu. It's just whatever you need to have, you get. We don't know that it has. I mean, good, the cop was one of that Shalom V'yakeinu B'chal, the Kriach HaKish, but it still doesn't answer the question.
Beyond Kishrein.
Yeah, it doesn't answer the question.
Right.
It doesn't answer the question because we knew that the phenomenal, not wasting a second was like, I'll give a dogma. This I heard from Avraham Stefanski, which if I went to get that interview with him, he lives in Yerushalayim.
Is that the one they call Butch?
Butch, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he spoke to
him. I never speak to him, but I heard a lot about him. In my interviews, I heard a lot about him.
I didn't interview him.
I know, but I'm trying to do the higger. The ones are here.
He was a mishamish, a big mishamish, yeah. Grandfather. And the things that he knows, because that's a big, but this he told me once. He told me he took him once to, I think it was not good a convention.
Yeah.
They used to take place in the Pioneer in those days.
Right.
The hotel of Pioneer.
Yeah, I remember he used to be there.
Pioneer. He took him to a good a convention. He arrived at Friday afternoon.
Yeah. Before I forget, do you have his phone number?
Maybe I'll
okay, but no, I'll for later. Just
yeah, I'll check it out.
Yeah, yeah.
He's successful. He's a master stuff. He's a successful person. Not difficult to talk to.
Yeah.
He drove him. He took him to the convention. He used to take him a lot of time.
Yeah.
He took him to the convention. He was funny to do. The minute he would come in downstairs, coming in the lobby, there was a lot of most of Shivas and the late Abdul used to come to the convention.
Right.
I mean, they used to stand around in the lobby, schmoozing, you know. Maybe learning, maybe stumbling, you know.
Yeah.
He told me whenever he would walk in, he would, you know, passing by would, he'll shake his head to each one, but he would just run straight to his room. Run straight to wherever he had to go, straight to the house. No time for any, what we call small talk, or any Yodim Ketanim.
Uh-huh.
And he would run straight to his room. He said that this one time, I remember following him, I mean, he would run, they would have to run after him practically, tell him where to go, Vugetra, and just came into the room, and he stood, there was no table and chair in the room.
Who's what?
There was no table and chair.
Yeah.
So, Butch, he kept playing a bit of a tish for the stool.
Yeah.
A tish for the stool. So he ran out to get it, came back a few minutes later.
Yeah.
So my grandfather sitting on the floor.
Yeah.
But Gemara was a tinker with a notebook open on the bed, and was learning and writing.
Uh-huh. Couldn't waste a second.
Couldn't wait. A child to wait, in fact.
Yeah.
Sitting on the floor, using the bed, and said, bank. Yeah. Sitting in the she turned and learning. Gemara and tinker, so it was bank.
Uh-huh.
I thought, I mean, it was not one extra minute, but this was the general, the signum, even though, I mean, he would, in the mishpacha itself, the one who would spend the most time there, because he was my older brother, who was the only one who was already, when he was 50, he was 40 years old already, and he would learn a lot.
Uh-huh.
He would know what's in the house, and I said, whenever I guess I went away, been as man to Fleischmann's in New York, he used to go to the bank used to be called Letterers, a rooming house called Letterers. In Fleischmann,
yeah, I know a place. You were.
An old Rapid Rustell place he used to go to. And my brother used to always go, he used to spend a lot of time learning with him.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I once heard a story, I think I heard from Gustav's son-in-law.
From who?
From Gustav of Bernick, from Gustav's son-in-law.
Yeah.
And of course, was there with him once.
Yeah.
And my grandfather and a few of them walk over to Augusta, who were there, even that were there, you know, Babachi. They tell him, the head of the Hoshiv is sitting at the other side of the room. And he's sitting with his little Aniko, and he's screaming at him, Tzoris, 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 a little kid, not that from Zogben and Tzoris, not Zogben and Tzoris, I mean, maybe. That we can't talk to the Hashim, and maybe you'll go over to the Hashim and, you know, talk to him today and tell him something.
Okay.
I can't talk to the Hashim at all when he's talking to Zaydan.
Uh-huh.
You know what he was doing? He was learning Yevamos with him.
Uh-huh, Taurus.
Taurus, Taurus, Taurus. He was learning Yevamos with him. And of course, they had a Yevamos with him, too. They must have said, I said, the Hashim will help Zaydan. I mean, he was cooking, you know, with songs, songs,
songs. Yeah, yeah.
He says, I knew what the ship was doing, but...
You couldn't explain it to them.
Yeah.
Today, now that you can explain it.
What?
Now that you can explain
it. Yeah, but then it wasn't too simple to explain.
See, one of the things that prompted me to do this is I remember I used to go to the they used to have like the Yom Zikaron, when they had like, by the other side, they used to have, Rav Nosson used to speak about the Reshiva, and I was sitting in the middle, and most of the people sitting around me were at least 10 to 20 years younger than me. And I heard Rav Shiva, Nosson talk about the Reshiva, and he told them what he did, and how he changed everything. So I said to myself, do these boys know what he's talking about? Like, do they know what the world was before they were born?
I heard over to Nosson Levayah. Maybe you heard it from someone else also, but someone said it, I'm not sure if it was Chaim Edison or someone else, I'm not sure who said it over. But someone said it over to Nosson Levayah. He didn't say over the name, I can tell you the name who it was with. But this was a bacher came to Yeshiva, a very big bacher. So, Yom was a real Tom. He was a shy, he said probably the biggest lump in the Yeshiva. A Yekish bacher.
Actually,
back then, you realize that Moshe Eisen's Chaim Avraham. Oh, yeah. He was considered the lamb that Yeshiva Bishaita. When he first came to the Yeshiva, he came up to Rav Nosson one day, and he said, you know, I have to leave the Yeshiva. I can't talk, Moshe Eisen was typically a very good lassen. Very good lassen. I talked to Yeshiva.
He's a very strong-willed person.
Very strong-willed person, but very soft-spoken.
Right.
And he took them again. I definitely used to get very, especially with the Gantz, with Sugi and Willing, and to Yeshiva, with the Ritz of the Rice was...
I had some relationships with him.
With Moshe Eisen?
Yeah.
So he said, I can't talk to Yeshiva. I can't talk to the
length
of Shiva. I'm not leaving the Shiva. I can't be here. Shiva, excuse me, I'm leaving. So I'm not to tell him, I want to tell you something. If someone will ever take a knife and rip my heart open, was born in North America.
Right. I think he was born in Europe.
What?
I think he was born. He was brought up here.
He brought up, came at a very young age.
Right.
I don't think he had any recollection of Europe.
Right.
From before he came to America.
Right.
He said, "Never a mess of Freishman House." That was cool. Not clean. I'm a
Yeah. I heard the story from Rav Nosson himself. He said, "What they're gonna find is a stickle TAYU in there."
Yeah, I claim it on my camera.
Yeah.
Who finds neither house? He tells him, "Moshe."
Dice.
I claim him Dice for 2 minutes. Who finds the Roshiva's house? The Roshiva's house is not there.
I heard he said a little bit different. He says, he's a Gantz and a Yid in heart. It was nothing else. Because he used nationality.
Right.
I remember that. I told that story over many times already. Many times.
I heard it by Rav Nosson Levayah. I'm saying it over where I heard it by Levayah. The Moshe Eisen's name wasn't mentioned.
I heard it over from Rav Nosson himself. Because it was once in Malava Malka in New York.
Yeah.
From Moshe Eisen, from Rav Schneier, and Rav Nosson in the car. And I was in the car in Halbrun, if you know Shmuel Halbrun, who's driving the car. So in there, when he was by the Malava Malka, he was joking around with Nosson. He said, "It was not going." So on the way back, Nosson said over, "What was the story? What did he say? It was not going." So he told the story over that way. He said that. He said about me. He said, "Mir and there." He says, "Mir asked him the house. We can find a stick." Americana, we went to school, and got this place, we finished it, our guy, he said, by the end, we got in the Deutschland, go end up, so he said, about there, ye, doesn't, I'm buying the house, it's a ganz year. So I give this example over, so there's certain people around, I said to my friend, I said, you see, this person over here, he's also that way. I don't want to mention the name, so you know who they are. So you see that Yid? He's the same. If you open him up, you'll find nothing but Yid there. Another one. There's two people here in Lakewood it fits that category. Yeah. So it's a very important, it's the hair.
The hair, maybe even the shaft with the hair is what you're thinking over. I'm thinking over the way I heard it by the, I'm not from the vibe, someone's saying this. thing.
Well, I heard from Nelson.
I'm more liberal.
If he said it with more ease, it wasn't for a speech.
Getting back to the house, he had on the other hand, with all the, you know, the speed, the quickness, always being a power factor, but there was a tremendous amount of yachas and kavod habriyos.
Yeah, I heard some things like that too.
Always being very careful about, you know, there is Shlomo Shokol Adam and speaking to a person. I forget as much as this talk about, you know, in the shul, the rifchen, and there's no being able to, you know, the whole world didn't exist, just the pshat and the sugi and everything that took the way the pshat was like spama.
Like a mochoma.
The sufa. But when it came to, the softness and in Yonim that weren't the gay at the softness and the format of the Eidekite, each person was very, very special to the point of me.
Could you give some examples that you observed?
I'll tell you just something that Kleinekite, that I heard from Marv Shik once in this Shmacha, but this is he once drove Shabbos to another, I don't know if it was a good convention, so sorry, one of those conventions that he had to go to, and he was the driver driving him to the convention, and before he left the house, a lot of things happened, he was out of the house maybe 20 minutes, maybe half hour, he said he must run back today, he must go back, turn around, it was a question of putting his house for over an hour. He came back, turned around, came into the house. One of my girls says a good Shabbos. He forgot that the whole pool rushing out to say the good Shabbos.
Couldn't call on the phone.
There's no phone. He didn't want to arrive there and call up to say a good Shabbos. He wanted not to say a good Shabbos before he left.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there was no cell phones then, you realize, right?
Yeah.
But besides the test, the gate stopped at one look a good Shabbos. This is the area. It's not a Shabbos. Nicht am Weg, ich bin schon gesagt, er konnte nicht
schaffen.
That's there's always the same upon him. You have the children, the smiles, the smile. There's always a all the sweetness of children, soft. It was a tremendous Weichkeit, the cloud with people that he had. The image of that, the fiery image, the fire was...
Was he that way because that was his nature, or he worked on himself to be that way?
You can never know that. My generation can't know that.
Uh-huh.
I just always, I'll tell you what I heard from Chassid Soundings before. I heard from him besides Yomo, but he told me what he said in his Levaya. He's always told over himself.
But I heard from Chassid Soundings. By the way, I was there.
what he used to tell me over what he said was, as a design, the Godel Hadol, the Godel Hadol, the Goyin HaTayro from the Homer Alvog, I knew when he was 15 years old. Because we knew what he would say, when he hears Fresh Tikkun Torah, it was obvious that this was going to be the Goyin Hadol, there was no question about it.
Right.
But I never realized that the design of Tzadik Hadol.
Uh-huh.
That's we never realized that's the design of Tzadik Hadol.
You can't be one without the other.
But he says, we knew him as a young bacher, we didn't realize that this is going to be the Tzadik Hadol. That level of tzidkis, he had certain zach that he was very makter on. Midas HaEmes by him was a very... Sayyid Mominus, you know, Elchite and Mominus, the stories, I mean, probably heard most of them with, you know, with Kiev, with Mominus, Yeshiva.
Everything is, I believe in repetition.
Part of the money we would come, my grandmother, when he would come, reading from the Yeshiva, when she would be there. If you're in time for Shabbos, you could take the table there from the Yeshiva.
Right.
But anything you bring into the house is already has to be paid for.
Uh-huh.
I mean, his own personal symptom that he would, I mean, I'll tell you two stories, one with the other, and they together. Himself, when he was once in Etchisroel, well, he used to go very often to Etchisroel.
Yeah.
He didn't get a letter from the house for like a week maybe, and he was very worried about what's happening, and he couldn't, and he never could get a letter. So someone told him, why doesn't he call up?
Yeah, yeah.
They said he can't afford it. He explained that they choice, he had to take care of his sister. He had an older sister that was a famous, a bit of a Malki, an older sister, who he took care of all the needs in a tzorch, they don't tell him that. They were in the hospital, right? There were abilities to take care of her. And it was a tremendous tzorch, but he took care of all the tzorch. There was no tzorch yet. He says, my tzorch are such that I can't afford another few dollars to
make phone calls.
And the same thing, and yet, someone told me this was probably in the same kufa, probably. There was a bacher in the yeshiva, he told me the story himself, Mosi Kalbach, Moshe Kalbach.
Yeah, yeah.
Did I tell you the story once?
No.
No. And he lived in Detroit.
Somebody told me this, but tell him anyway.
He lived in Detroit.
Yeah.
And he left, and he had a ride a day before, 2 days before the beginning of Ben Azman. And he had a ride to Detroit, which would save him the coffee and get home a day earlier. And save him the coffee, and he had a ride. So he came away from him to tell him that he has a ride. So he told us, next morning, he called him over, and he took out from the contract and took him and offered him the money. Now, on one hand, he shouldn't miss a day of learning, but he gave him the money to go back to Detroit. So it's the same session that Mahatma Shkinu Geld, to make a phone call from that Yisrael, cost $20. But for Bach, to have to sell 2 days.
Yeah, he knew how to value things.
Right, how to value for that to his money. But there's a huge mistake to come on this. Story, I heard it in Mishpacha. One time, my grandmother insisted he buys himself a new bed, a new frock.
Yeah.
He said to his wife, he can't afford it. She told him, look, you go for the yeshiva. You meet people in the name of the yeshiva. This is Tzorcha Yeshiva.
Yeah, yeah. Is the Gemara getting like that?
Right. So he listened to it. He let him buy a new bag.
Yeah.
Right after he bought the bag, he went to Israel.
Uh-huh.
She packed it into the suitcase, the new bag.
Yeah.
Came back, she saw it wasn't taken out, it wasn't used.
Because it's only for Tzorcha Yeshiva.
Tzorcha Yeshiva, she saw it on Tzorcha Yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
He can't wear that, she saw it, she has nothing else to wear, new bag in it.
Yeah,
yeah. She has nothing else. No, there's a huge in Dikduka, this is what I heard from, it's not that Mamanis, this is in Midas Emes. This Marvin Sheikh told me of. Did you ever speak to him?
No. They give me his name, but I try to keep it to people more or less who are closer to the yeshiva itself. But
you could hear from him that you couldn't hear from others? I mean, you have to know everything to hear, But this is totally what happened with him. The day I used my grandfather, he used to say on Shabbos HaGadol, but I used to say Shira Dagud on 14th Avenue. Say Shira Shabbos HaGadol. And the Sfar, like I told you before, we had very little Sfar in the house.
Yeah, right.
Dagud had a nice library then also. So he told me, yes, Mom, Sheik, the day before the Sheik, if you could get him a Michas Chiluk, putting up a Michas Chiluk. So he went to the library and he signed out a Michas Chiluk library. He brought it to my grandfather. Then he never came back to pick it up. Picked it up. And then there was Luchik in the library. He signed out, Mom, Sheik signed it out. That's my grandfather, and he felt very uncomfortable coming to the house and asking for the safer and taking it back. He just didn't feel comfortable.
Uh-huh.
So And he voiced my grandfather's house in the whole story. He made up a whole story that the other gave him a ton of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So he made up a mice, he concocted a story.
Yeah.
And he brought it, and we had given it to my grandfather. And then he said, oh, by the way, that I know that Chassidim had his name, he took it and he returned it.
Yeah.
He felt more comfortable returning it under those circumstances.
Uh-huh.
He was then learning in RJJ.
Yeah.
While she was learning in RJJ, Shlicha comes in to the yeshiva. He said, the Chomer Shlicha is Tat.
Yeah.
She said, I'm on the way to Lakewood. And my father told me, as the yeshiva told me, I have to drop in to give you a message.
Yeah.
The message was as follows. I feel if I double toys, from the Ellis, not double toys, I go to Zach, that's not there, he deserves all the
women. Wow. He detected it was something fabricated.
He said, double twice. He did a very good thing. That's what I was like. Oh, that's he. Let me do that.
Right.
He's also chatted up to them. So he meant, he went straight out of his way to come to this. This was it's a very educational, but because Emmett was double. Yeah. Emmett, I mean, the same thing, it's the Emmett thing. In Dibur, the Emes, in Momodus, I mean, the Elrichkeit was a
primary.
Very primary. Not Chalila, it's like a... I mean, the chap was... You know, I mean, the chap was Tyrus Emes.
Yeah.
Emes, the chap, someone was Tyrus Emes, the Emes. Sheker, Amol, Milma, Hassel, Mokka. Everything is Emes. No, couldn't send Ziyu, Sheker. These were things that weren't...
That's the nature.
And he had always the ability to see it, right? Like, you know, so that wasn't that ever, you know, the famous...
It was very, the pictures, he detected it.
Right, detected it. Like the famous story with my grandfather held you and not a lot of smoke on your... He didn't call hold of smoke. He was probably the first one that asked the crowd. He wouldn't say that they asked smoking in Lakewood to be Spanish. My grandfather asked to smoke one.
Oh, yeah?
What?
He did?
Yeah. I wouldn't say that. He didn't allow smoke. So I feel he was a mice of the Bacher that was 12, but he said he asked it. He was probably the first people that were so strongly against smoking.
Uh-huh.
But it's not, he helped smoking. He didn't like the idea of smoking at all. He held the post in a good job. But he actually held up, he didn't offer to smoke young. Maybe because he helped force the Gesundheit, that's why he held the patients, that didn't exist. I mean, whatever, he sheet in
Allah. There's a big Mechov and Asano on smoking.
Right. It's
a very big, and Bayer, it's very, very, and it goes to a very detailed area.
Right.
It comes out of that saucer.
Saucer, yeah, but they had to be sure of it because they helped and it helped digest it.
Right. He talks about, the Chomazan talks about that too.
Right. And the girl for the health of the world, I don't know why. But Abacha decided he wanted to find out if the issue was because he held it was not Shavuot Kol Nefesh, or because he held maybe that there was a problem with with the Mechike, because the writing at the end is Gram Mechike, you know, when the sugar burns to the bottom.
It, I mean, his letters printed.
The letters get burnt up. If that was a shadow, it was on the shadow. I don't know, maybe one thing he wanted to listen to, the other one he did not. Whatever it was, Abacha wanted to find out what his reasoning was.
Yeah.
But Ari is the Roshiva. They ask him, Stam, what is wrong? She wouldn't be Nochus. He would tell him, the Tomer Shreichem is on Shreichem's specialist. You know, and he wouldn't be Nochus to the front.
Yeah.
So he made up a whole story about somebody who the gas pilot went out, the gas went out, and he there was a fire somewhere else, a stationary fire, and the only way he could transfer it is lighting the edge of a piece of paper, of a newspaper, that at the other end of the paper there was lettering,
and
basically could burn the lettering.
Right.
So could he use that to transfer the fire?
Yeah.
And he made the whole shot, he asked him, could he use that?
Yeah.
He looked at him and says, "Du Schreichel."
He knew already where he turned.
Du Schreichel. What other things to
you were always, everything you told me was in Borough Park, right?
Yeah, we went, I mean, I was from Lakewood, and played, we used to go to Lakewood, even though I personally didn't go as a youngster to Lakewood. I sometimes go to...
Did you ever learn in Lakewood?
Not my grandfather's lifetime, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Many years later, I spent the course to Lakewood, but that's not my grandfather's lifetime.
Uh-huh.
Even my older brother never learned, came to Lakewood a year after his team.
Uh-huh.
In his lifetime, none of us ever learned. The oldest Anacle was my brother, who was 14 years old, at the time of his
team. I remember there used to be a brother of yours, used to sit right in front of me. I was, wasn't it? He might be younger than you. What was his name? Yeah, okay. He used to sit in the middle, a little bit towards the left.
I wouldn't know, but that's many years later, many, many years later.
Yeah.
My grandfather's time, there was nobody in we used to go for him type. I remember the last Shavuos I was in Lakewood, spending the night together with my older brother. We slept in his room. My grandmother stayed in New York. He slept in his bedroom. And I remember the second day, Yontif, vividly how he used to walk us up for the first man Kishma.
Mm-hmm.
He was very mocked on the first man Kishma. Mm-hmm. He couldn't do like the first man.
Like Mugging of Rome.
Yeah, and he would, I remember waking us up to Lane Krishna. But we would, everything was in New York. And I guess he lived here for the time of New York.
Uh-huh.
Even though he used to stay always, in the earlier years, my grandmother and Shalom used to come for Shabbos to like, and she used to travel them back and forth. But then, when my mother and the Mishpacha settled in New York, it became very difficult for her to make that trip back and forth. It was very she should stay in New York.
Uh-huh.
I remember, and half of my grandma here is my grandfather himself, but when my mother should say, Shabbos, that's a sign of the Haim.
Uh-huh.
The Haim is in Yeshiva.
Uh-huh. His home was the Yeshiva.
Home is Yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
You have to be home, Shabbos. Home is Yeshiva.
Uh-huh.
That's home. The home was the but the yeshiva was the mishmeres. She would come on Thursday evening. It's noon to the yeshiva. I mean, when he's coming to Lakewood, he'd stop off at Kshneir's house and give little chocolate and candies to the children.
Uh-huh.
And then he would continue to the yeshiva and go straight to the mishmeres.
Yeah, tremendous. To me, it's like overwhelming, the pressure that he was under to do that.
What?
I mean, running from New York back and forth, coming right into Beis Medrash to begin
to run. Going to Beis Medrash wasn't the pressure. The pressure was going out of Beis
Medrash. I mean, to him, the Beis Medrash, that was his home.
That's his home, yeah. That's
where he was most comfortable.
That's living.
In New York, it was like he had to do all these things. That was living.
Everything else was distraction.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Living was tyrant.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Living was tyrant. New York or everywhere. The living was tyrant. Everything else was welcome. They have to be taken care of. They have to be the carrying the wife have to carry.
So come to Lakewood, but I was going home.
Yeah, I was going home. Going to Lakewood, going home. Ultimately, tomorrow I was coming back. Going back to the Chiz. The Chayim,
the real life.
Everything was Chayim. Nothing else. That's what the Ruach in the house, I mean.
Okay.
I remember this was my grandmother that I showed him, but this is I'm maybe in the third grade or fourth grade. I had a right composition, what you want to do when you grow up.
Uh-huh.
So I have no idea what will happen when I grow up.
Yeah.
And the person could never know what I want to do. But that's whatever you end up doing, if you like it to be a Talmud Chacham or not, you have to know it. Kim Yirei, that's an Avel Chayit, and those are yes. That's why it's a very reasonable composition.
Yeah.
My grandmother saw it.
Yeah.
I had to rip it up. For faith that you're growing up with not with the Shiva, that's it. This is the level tale you're in for life.
Uh-huh.
How do you not have that? You know, that's what the Ruach we breathe in the house.
Like not shy.
Yeah, not shy. Anything else is a fish in the high. That's what the rule is. But even though it sounds like, you know, nowadays and age we talk about this as being very pressured,
yeah.
pressuring children.
Yeah.
But it wasn't pressuring as much as like reality, doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
This is Chiv. I first left, first is done left, and everything else is not pressure. I want you to perform, I want you to accomplish. This is what Chaim is. That's the same thing in life, but this is where we live. Everything else is struggle. That's okay. I think I spoke enough.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rabbi Zvulun Schwartzman, for your words on the Rosh Hashanah.